This is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we start today, I want to remind everyone about the banquet coming up, the Gather the Outcast Ministry banquet coming up at the Bullseye Event Center, downtown Norton. It's coming up the 29th of April, Saturday evening, starting at 6 p.m. And if you don't have your reservation in and you want to go, you need to call Bullseye. 874-4800, 785-874-4800. Let them know you're going to be there, and they will make a reservation for you. We're going to have a great evening. Roger Cooper's going to be leading worship for us, and we'll have a time of sharing and a DVD picture show. And so it's going to be a great time for the ministry, a great time to fellowship with people that believe in this ministry and believe in the work God is doing through this ministry. And so we invite you to be there. Make your reservation, get it called in this week, and we'll look forward to seeing you Saturday night, the 29th, at the Bullseye Event Center. Well, today we're going to be talking about two baptisms, and again, this is somewhat of a doctrinal message. It's an important message for Christians to understand the importance of baptisms in their life. And there are two baptisms spoken of here in Scripture very plainly. Actually, there's more than that. There's several, but these are the two main ones for the Christian as they proceed, as we proceed in our walk with the Lord, and as we proceed in our getting to know the Lord and our obedience to the Lord, our fulfillment of all righteousness. And so it's very important that we understand and get these concepts into our mind completely and clearly and with no doubt or uncertainty. And so as we become more bold in our faith and more confident in our walk, then we know these things to be true. We know these things to be the way God wants it, because we study the Scripture and we can easily discern His desire and His will for our life. Well, in Matthew 3:11, we have a situation where John the Baptist is out at the Jordan River and he is baptizing people that are coming to him. He is receiving them in the name of the Lord God, and he is baptizing them, and he tells them in Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so John the Baptist talks about two baptisms there. He talks about water baptism that he is doing, the baptism unto repentance. And then he also talks about one who is coming after him who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the one that he is referring to, we all know, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And Jesus did not at that particular time come to John. It was a little while later that Jesus came to John. In Matthew 3, verse 14, it says Jesus came from Galilee, and then verse 14, and John tried to prevent Jesus from being baptized because Jesus was coming to John to be water baptized. And Jesus came to John, and John said, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me." In other words, John said, "Why are you coming to me for baptism? I need to be coming to you," because John knew who Jesus was. He knew he was the Son of God. There were times when he questioned that. There were times when he wasn't absolutely sure. But in his heart of hearts, he knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was also his cousin in the natural world. But he knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And so John says, "Why are you coming to me to be baptized? I need to be coming to you." And Jesus answered, verse 15, and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he allowed him. In other words, Jesus said, "This is the right thing to do." Jesus didn't say, "I've got sin and I need to get it taken care of," or "I am coming to you to repent of anything that I've done wrong." No, that was not our Lord and Savior. He had nothing to repent of. He had no sin in his life, but he told his cousin, the forerunner, John the Baptist, he said, "We need to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Well, what did he mean by that? He meant this was the right thing to do before Jehovah God, his Father. This was the right thing to do. And so to fulfill righteousness in our life, to fulfill what the Father God wants us to do in our life, we need to be also obedient to everything that God calls us to do, just as Jesus Christ was obedient to what his Father had called him to do. And so we need to be obedient as well. And so when we come to a place when we are convicted by our sin, when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit of our sin, then we need to come to a place where we understand the next thing to do, the righteous thing to do, to fulfill righteousness, to fulfill obedience in our life, is to be water baptized. And that's just the first step, beloved, that if you're a baby Christian out there, or you have never been water baptized, or maybe you were raised up in a faith that believes in infant baptism, and you've never been immersed in Christian baptism, you've never truly received the blessing of water baptism to fulfill righteousness and for the repentance, for the remission of your sins, you need to do that. That is your next step in obedience to the Father God. And beloved, get used to the fact, if you want to get to know God, get used to the fact, if you want to draw closer to God, get used to the fact that you need to say yes, and you need to be obedient when God pricks your heart, when God, the Holy Spirit, or when the Father speaks to you. You need to say yes, you need to be obedient, and if you get in the habit of doing that, your Christian walk is going to be a great blessing, not only to you, but it will be a blessing to the Father, it will be a blessing to other people on the earth. God will use you in mighty ways. He'll take your life and he'll turn it upside down, inside out, and he'll do things with you that you never imagined you could do for yourself, or he'll clean you up in ways that you never thought you could be cleaned up and resist sin in your life. All these things come out of obedience. All these things come out of your desire to serve God, to fulfill righteousness in your life. And when you start to understand that, maybe you're a baby believer out there, when you start to understand that, then you have understood, then you have gotten a grasp of the Lord and the way he wants to work in your life, that your path will be just an upward spiral into a greater and greater intimacy, an upward spiral into a greater submission, a greater obedience to what the Lord wants to do in your life. Jesus said, take up your cross and carry it. Take up your own cross and carry it. What did he mean? He means you have to become obedient just as Jesus Christ was obedient to his own Father. You have to be obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to the speaking of the Holy Spirit, and to the prompting of the Lord God. When the Bible, God's Word, speaks to you, you say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. Yes, Lord, here I am. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. And when you do that, beloved, you're going to move into a walk with the Lord that will defy human explanation. It will defy your own ideas about yourself, your life, and everything else that you perceive about your walk here on this earth is going to change. And so Jesus was submitted to John and submitted to his Father, and he allowed him then to be baptized. And in verse 16 in Matthew 3, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, you can take that example for your own life. When you are obedient to the Father speaks over you. In whatever situation you are obedient, the Father speaks over you, and he will say over you, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, or you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when God speaks that over you, that's better than any kind of accolade, that's better than any kind of award, any kind of earthly praise. When the Father speaks that over you, you know then that you are in right standing with God, and you are fulfilling righteousness in your life. And beloved, that should be your goal in life, to become conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Well, in Matthew 3:11, again, then John speaks that he is baptizing unto repentance. Well, what is repentance? When you came to know sin in your life, when you came to understand that point in your life, where you realize that you are a sinner, that you have broken God's commandments, not only the Ten Commandments, but you've broken the heart of Father God, that you have stolen, that you have lied, that you have cheated, that you have had lust or sexual immorality in your life, or you've been a drug dealer or a drug user, or all of these different ways that we get separated from God by our sin, then it comes to a place where we need to repent. We are brought to a place by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And so when we come to a place, maybe it's because of the prayers of a friend of yours, or prayers of your parents, or the prayers of some person that you don't even know that's praying for you, or maybe you saw a TV service of a service and the Holy Spirit convicted you then, or maybe you heard a radio message, maybe this message, that you've been convicted of your sin. When you come to that place and you realize that you're a sinner, that you are separated from God by your sin, that your sin keeps you from intimacy with God, then you need to repent of that sin. You need to get down on your knees and you need to cry out to God and you need to say, Father, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against earth. I've sinned against my fellow man. I've lied to them. I've cheated. I've stolen. I've lusted after them. Whatever it is, you repent of it. Everything in your life that you know is wrong, that has separated you from God, you repent of it, and you cry out to the Lord, and you say, Lord Jesus, you come in and cleanse me. I want to serve you. I want to be obedient to you. I want to keep your commandments. That is true repentance, when you have godly sorrow, and you understand that what you have done has hurt the heart of your Father. It has separated you from Him. Your iniquity has brought a gulf between you and Him. And beloved, when you come to that point, then Jesus is ready to move in your life, and the Holy Spirit is ready to move in your life. And when you come to that point and you repent, then you are ready then to participate or to undertake baptism, water baptism, as a symbolic gesture of what has taken place already in your heart. Baptism doesn't save you. You can't run to the baptistry and get baptized right away if nothing has happened in your heart. If you run to the baptistry and nothing has taken place in your heart and you have not repented for the forgiveness of your sins or for the remission of your sins, if you have not repented and you don't understand your need for a Savior, if you're just running to the baptistry because you think that somehow this is going to save you, you might as well just take a bar of soap with you and a loofah sponge and get yourself good and cleaned off, because that's all you're doing. You're just washing the skin. It has to have happened in your heart first. And the washing of the water of the Word, the washing of the Word over the sin in your life, is what sets you free from all iniquity. It's what separates you from the world. It's what attaches you to the kingdom of God, and it remits or it brings forgiveness of the sin in your life. Romans 6:1, Paul is talking about baptism and how it relates to sin and the symbolism of baptism, and it's very important scripture. I urge you, if you're considering baptism, to go back and read Romans 6 up until about verse 10. It's full of wisdom. It's full of all the doctrinal foundational issues regarding baptism that you need to know. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then, Paul says? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? He's talking about people that have already come out of the sinful lifestyle and have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He says, certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. So what's he saying here? He's saying that baptism, water baptism, represents our death to sin. Water baptism represents our being washed by the cleansing of the power of Jesus' blood. It isn't the water that cleanses us. It isn't the water that saves us. The water is just symbolic of the cleansing that has already taken place in our heart. That cleansing that cleanses us, it cleanses our conscience, it cleanses the sin out of our life. And that is done, my beloved friends, that is done only by the blood of Jesus Christ. The water doesn't do that. The water is just symbolic of, as we go down into the water and we are fully immersed in the water, that is symbolic of the fact that our sins are fully taken away, our sins are fully buried, and we are buried with Christ just as Christ died on the cross and he was buried in the tomb. He died on the cross and he took on the sins of the whole world and they were buried. Then he was buried in the tomb. So too, we go down in the water. We are fully immersed in the water and it is representative of the fact that Jesus Christ has died to sin, and we die to our sin just as he was, and the water symbolically then washes our sin away. Symbolically, it takes our sin away from us, and we are dead to sin. And then Paul says also that just as we were buried with him into his death, and the sin that we have is also buried, he says, even so, that we shall walk in newness of life. And so as you come up out of the water, your sins are left behind, your sins are buried, your sins are dead, and that old, dreadful, sinful man is dead, and it is buried. And so too, as you come up out of the water, then you come up and you rejoice in the fact that you then now have newness of life, that you are a new creation. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. All things are new. And so as you come up out of that water, then you come up and you walk in newness of life, or you are a newly created creature. You are now born again. But it has to happen again. To repeat, it has to happen first in the heart. You are a new creation in the heart, and what you do in the baptistry with the water is just symbolic of what has already taken place in the heart. And again, if your heart isn't right, if you have not made the decision based on repentance, based on your regret that you have hurt the heart of the Father God, and you have a consciousness of your sin, then you are doing it for the wrong reasons. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of Jesus' death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Beloved, there are some of you out there, you're struggling with drug addiction, you're struggling with cigarette addiction, with alcohol addiction, you're struggling with pornography addiction, you're struggling with lying, and you tell all kinds of lies to people, and that has to be crucified. You need to crucify all of that. And you need to submit to the Lord and let him come in and do his cleansing in your life. You get down on your knees and you cry out to the Lord. If you can't defeat cigarette addiction in your life, or you can't defeat alcohol addiction in your life, or you can't defeat pornography, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes you. If you're trapped in some kind of bondage, if you have some kind of sin that is besetting you and you can't seem to get free of it, you've made trips to drug and alcohol treatment centers and all this stuff, and you can't get free. You need to get down on your knees and call upon the name of the Lord, and he will save you. He is strong enough to take care of you. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is that Lord God that is in you than that little he that is in the world. Greater is he, and give him a chance to work in your life and give him a chance to lift you up out of that bondage and break that sin off of your life. Well, verse 7, Paul wraps it up here in Romans chapter 6, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Well, praise God for that. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're all sinners, and the only way we can be freed from our sin is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Programs don't do it, attendance at meetings don't do it, making the best cake for the church dinners doesn't do it. You have to come to the Lord, and you have to repent of your sin, and you have to submit your life to Him, and then let the Lord work in your life. Let the Lord then bring you up out of the sin. And beloved, God will give you the strength then to walk in newness of life. God will give you the strength to say no to temptation. God will give you the strength to be able to withstand all of those things that the devil wants to do in your life. You will never again, after you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you will never again sin with the same abandon that you did before you came to know the Lord. And so many of you, if you're struggling in your life and you don't know whether you can break free from sin, you need to really submit your life and get right with God, get honest with God, come to a place where you understand the only way you're going to be pulled up out of your sinful lifestyle is through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection power that brought newness of life to Jesus Christ. That same resurrection power can be yours and can bring you up out of your sinful lifestyle. Well, Acts 2:38, at the place of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem, Peter is preaching to the masses there, and he is saying to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins," or for the forgiveness of your sins, "and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And so if you've never been baptized, if you have confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you've prayed and asked the Lord to forgive you, and you came to a place of godly sorrow, you understand your sin separated you from God, then repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise is not only for you. If you have children, it's for your children. You can't bring salvation to your children through your own action, but the promise is for your children. They will have to come to the Lord, and they will have to acknowledge their own sin in their own time. But if you come to the Lord and repent and be baptized, that promise then is also for your children. It's for them even if you don't. And it is for all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. Well, beloved, the Lord wants to call every single person on this earth. It is His desire that none should perish, that all should come to a place of repentance. It is the Lord's desire that every single person come to know Him as Lord and Savior. I don't care if they're Muslim or Hindu or whatever religion they are, whatever persuasion of doctrine they have, it is His desire they come to know Him, they come to a place of repentance, they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then they arise to walk in newness of life and share the gospel, share the good news, share their testimony, and be a spokesperson and be a mouthpiece for the gospel and the good news to people wherever they go. That is God's will for you. I hope that you have already done that. But again, if you have not, this message today has been for you. If you have questions about baptism or you would like to be baptized, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I will receive your questions and make arrangements then at some point in time to have you baptized. And so we can do this for you, and that is to fulfill all righteousness in your life so you will have right standing before God. Well, beloved, I hope that you enjoy these messages. Next week we're going to take up the second baptism, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be a very good message for those of you who've never received the true immersion of the Holy Spirit and had the counsel of the Holy Spirit to walk with you and to talk with you. And so you're going to want to stay tuned for that message coming up next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio broadcast. I hope that you appreciate these messages. If you've never supported this ministry, or even if you have, I urge you today, sit down, write out a check, make it out to Gather the Outcast Ministry, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, and let us know. I would like to hear from you how these messages have impacted you, what impact they have on your life, and we want to hear from you. We want to be encouraged to know that you're listening to these messages and they are having an impact on your life. And so I encourage you to support us. We've got some great plans coming up for this summer. I'm going into Tanzania for the first time, and I'm going to be preaching a crusade in Dar es Salaam, the capital city of Tanzania. Also, I'll be taking a team with me to Nairobi, Kenya, and out to Mumias, Kenya, to work at the orphanage site, the Living Water Orphanage. And so if you'd be interested in a trip like that for 2 weeks, let me know, email me, and we can talk about taking you to Africa this summer. And it will be a trip of a lifetime, a thrill for you, and you will enjoy it. You will be encouraged in your walk, and you will encourage those people in Africa also as you go there to minister. Well, stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.